Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me today. Thanks for hanging around. We're glad you're here. You're going to be glad you did, because we got some good stuff coming at you straight ahead with our new friend, Amy Menefee, is with us. Amy is Managing Editor for the Business and Media Institute. And this is an organization that one of the things they study is what the media does, how the media influences what you and I believe, what you and I think. And she's here with what she calls the media's top 10 economic myths of 2007. And as I said, it's compiled by her organization, BMI, Business and Media Institute. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Before we get into this list, there was an article that I was just fascinated by, a term that I was fascinated by in the Wall Street Journal about a week or two ago by Holman Jenkins Jr. And he was talking about one of your myths, which is about global warming. One of your points that you make about global warming. The article was about global warming, but he used a term called availability cascade. Have you heard that term before?
No, I haven't. I must have missed that column.
He talks about availability cascade, and what he means by that is a term that somebody else coined. He didn't coin it. He just reported on it. But he said that availability cascade is what happens when the media reports something so much it becomes real. It becomes what people believe.
Right.
And so a lot of the things that in this myth, in the media's top 10 economic myths, I think have had the impact of availability cascade. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. That's really what this list is all about, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So number 10. Let's start with that, and we're probably not going to have any drum rolls here today, Amy. But number 10. Tell us what that is.
Well, number 10 is airlines are solely to blame for the unfriendly skies. So you've probably heard a lot of stories about airlines in 2007, and probably not many of them have been favorable or good, or looking at, hey, these companies, they've had some really rough times since 9/11, and some of them finally came out of bankruptcy protection this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them, you know, after they did that, they were able to start turning a profit again, which is wonderful for them. But instead, we heard about the delays, we heard about baggage getting lost, and all these other things that were happening to travelers. And we didn't hear anything about the government-controlled air traffic control system, which has really been faulted by some as the major force behind a lot of those delays.
Well, Amy, I'm a pilot, and even though I haven't flown in a while, I do know that our air traffic control system is an antiquated one, and I do know that it does contribute to a lot of the challenges that travelers have, airline travelers have. But the things that I've been having problems with the airlines over the last year or two have been self-imposed by the airlines. I mean, the FAA didn't create the bad food or the rude gate people or whatever, and they're not all that way. You know, I've had some good experiences too, but I think for my part, Amy, this is about a 50-50 situation here.
Well, I think, you know, every time you're dealing with any business, especially businesses as large as the airlines, and as far-reaching in many cases, you're going to have people that are rude. You're going to have people who are not doing their jobs right. You're always going to have those people.
Yeah.
But you know, what we were looking at is just how the media are approaching it. And we like to see them take into account all the factors. And they really didn't do that in this case. In fact, one of my favorite examples of this was Meredith Vieira, who got on the Today Show, and she was interviewing an airline executive. And she basically asked him to please promise her right there on the air that there would not be any more canceled flights from his airline. And,
so
what
La La Land did she land from?
Well, I mean, that when you have reporters who ask questions like that or who make demands it just shows, okay, we're not getting a realistic picture of this.
Well, and it shows that the questioner is not a serious person, but you know, and the other thing to remember is the number of people traveling on airlines today. It's got to be a record number. I mean, it's just incredible, all the people that are traveling, all the flights, especially with all the regional jets. But anyway, there's enough blame to go around. I think the problem with the reporting is they don't report. They do report on the antiquated ATC, air traffic control system. They just don't do it at the same time when they're reporting on the airlines. They probably ought to put those two reports together. Okay, number nine, consumer spending is the be-all, end-all of the economy. What's wrong with that?
Well, we've been hearing a lot about this, you know, in the last couple of months leading up to the holidays, because there's some reporters out there who have said, you know, oh, no, well, if we don't get out there and spend just as much money as we possibly can at all these retailers and everything, then certainly that's going to put us into a recession. That's going to cause an economic collapse. And they keep saying that about, you know, well, you better get out there and spend a bunch of money, when it's just really ironic because they also love to do stories about how in debt we are as Americans.
Right, right.
And this is one where, you know, you have to take into consideration consumer spending is not the only thing that is a factor in the economy. For one thing, it's actually been doing well so far, despite all of their worries about it. If you look at Black Friday and Saturday, the 2 days right after Thanksgiving, which are historically high shopping days, we had an increase in sales, almost 8% from last year, between 7% and 8%. And for those 2 days, we had $16 billion in sales there.
Well, here's another thing, Amy, to remember. When the national media, the TV media reports on all this, they always report on what the major companies are doing, the big companies are doing.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't, exactly. what they don't report on, though, is how small business is doing.
That's true. Yeah,
we know that the big companies are not staffing their stores adequately, and that makes a lot of people not want to hang out in those stores. And so I think they're going to small businesses. And so you're exactly right. But see, the national media doesn't know how to cover small business because they got to go to more than one or two places to get their information.
You're right. They can be lazy a lot of the time.
Well, they are lazy, and you know, it's just like when they're trying to find out how housing is doing, they report on what the Toll Brothers, you know, one publicly traded home building company is doing. You know, oh well, they're off 6%. Well, that doesn't mean, you know, Bubba the house builder out there is off. All of his buddies across the country, it's anyway. Stand by. We're gonna take a quick break. We got Amy Menifee. She and I will be right back. Stay with us. We're back.
Hi, Jim. This is Beverly Inman Ebel, author of Talk Is Not Cheap at TalkListen.com. Congratulations on the 10th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Way to go, Jim. You did not stop at dreaming. You did it.
I get so excited doing my show. I can't wait on some of the high production value that we have around here. Amy Menifee is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Amy is with BMI, Business and Media Institute. Amy, tell us a little bit about your company.
Sure. Well, we're a media watchdog group, and so we look at coverage of business and economic issues out there, which, if you think about it, really touches almost everything because there's money everywhere you look in the news. And so we try to make sure that the media are getting all the perspectives in there that they should be, that they're not putting misinformation out there, and that they're including the free market perspective, because a lot of times these stories are very, very government-focused.
Right.
So we can, and we're on the web at businessandmedia.org.
All right, and Amy is managing editor there. Okay, we're talking about the top 10 media economic myths of 2007. Number eight is the stock market is trouble whether it goes up or down. What's the myth about that?
Well, we've seen some interesting things happen in the stock market this year. Of course, we saw a lot of these record-breaking, you know, hitting 13,000, looking at 14, you know, is it going to go higher? Is it going to go higher? And just all kinds of fears there about, well, how high can it go? Can it sustain this kind of growth? And so there were worries when it was going higher. And then when it starts to drop off from those highs, then the media gets scared about, oh, this is a record drop.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're going to have another Great Depression and all these kinds of things. And anytime you have a record high, we've seen this with housing coverage as well, you have a record high, a boom in an area of the economy, and then when it starts to drop off, the media focus on, well, how much did it drop? When mm-hmm. they don't put it in perspective of, well, it dropped from a record high, so it's not exactly the same as, you know, if it had dropped a couple of years ago. You know, it's just, they don't.
Well, and never, and you know, we're talking about a being that is the most schizophrenic, bipolar entity on the planet. I mean, it'll go up 300 points and down 300 points, and it'll go from being positive 300 to negative 100 in the same 8-hour trading period or 6-hour trading period, however long they trade up there. And this is what you're talking about is what I've been saying for a long time. The media thinks the stock market is the economy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they think that Walmart is more important than Main Street. And most of the, you know, what I tell people, Amy, and I've been talking about this for a while now, Wall Street is a derivative of Main Street. Nothing happens, not one thing happens on Wall Street until somebody on Main Street makes a sale.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when they talk about all they want to do is talk about Wall Street, because see, the reason they want to do this is because they can talk about Wall Street, because Wall Street has all these indicators, all these metrics that makes it easy to talk about. Small business doesn't have that. There's no place to aggregate how many sales a small business owner made in the last 30 minutes or last 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so it's not as much fun to watch small business operate for them.
Well, it's also, you know, we said earlier, it's so many individuals across the country, and so it would take a lot of work.
Well, exactly.
On somebody's part to try and monitor that.
I understand and I appreciate that, but I don't blame them. I don't mind them reporting on Wall Street. Just don't act like that's the only thing there is in the world.
Well, and yeah, like you said, it goes up and down a lot. And this reminds me of the coverage of gas prices too, because if it goes up, you know, 1 cent, they act like it's the end of the world. But
right.
they never cover gas prices when they go down a cent.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, let's just get one more in here before we have to go. Anyone who denies global warming shouldn't be taken seriously.
This is a big one for 2007. We've had global warming on our list before, but not quite in this fashion, because this was a big year for what I call really the mainstreaming of this idea that anyone who questions these massive policy proposals, which would cost millions, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars for the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
anyone who even dares question that is basically called a denier
right.
by the media. And, of course, it's activists like Al Gore who have gotten that term started, but it's
right.
really gone mainstream in the media, and to the point where they're likening those people to Holocaust deniers, to moon landing deniers, and really marginalizing even scientists, you know.
And
who
see,
are
this
still
is
skeptical.
There are two cascades here that Holman Jenkins talked about in that article. He talked about the availability cascade, which is where the media says it so much it must be true.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is called, he called it informational cascade, and that's where you allow other people's opinions to become your opinion, because they feel so strongly about their opinion, and that rather than you doing your own research, forming your own opinion, you let other people's opinions become your opinion, and that's sort of a lazy person's scenario, I guess. But that's what's happening, I think. You know, I remind people, Amy, that 10,000 years ago, Kentucky was under 5,000 feet of ice. So, yeah, the Earth
right.
is,
well, we,
the
know,
earth
we,
is
we
warming.
We did a report that shows the media have gone back and forth in the last 100 years between cooling and warming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Four
Amy,
times.
We got. I want to cover the rest of these. Will you come back another day and do this with me?
Sure, we got to finish our countdown.
There you go. We'll do it very soon. Hey, Amy, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. And that's businessandmedia.org?
That's right.
All right, thanks. Quick break, 29 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.